Hello and welcome to the Lanky Lanky podcast, released just in time for the start of the men's Metrobank One Day Cup campaign. Readers and subscribers to the Lanky Lanky website will be very familiar with the work of Graham Harcastle and Paul Edwards, who have invited me onto the pod. Thank you for having me, guys. Coming up, we'll catch up with Lancashire's director of cricket performance. That's Mark Chilton. We've been down actually to see Mark Chilton at the club's new Farrington site. So more on that in a moment or two. So the One Day Cup campaign starts at Sedbergh School this coming Tuesday. And I guess to get stuck right into it, the first thing we should address is the club's captaincy for the One Day Cup campaign. Josh Bohannon is the club's official vice-captain. We know that James Anderson won't feature in the One Day Cup for Lancashire this season. It will be George Balderson, however, that captains Lancashire in the One Day Cup, guys. Paul, your thoughts on that?
Absolutely right. When I first met George Balderson, it was a weird situation in that it was at Egbeth during the COVID summer. And you remember those. It was almost like sort of country house cricket at Egbeth because there were the players and about 30 spectators. I thought he had a maturity for someone who was really just made his Lancashire debut. He was mature. He understood the game. I thought this is a future Lancashire captain. This is bigging me up and I don't want to do that.
Go on. Big yourself up.
It's my natural milieu. You're quite correct, Graham. I thought this is a future Lancashire captain. I think vastly more importantly than that, I want Josh Bohannon to start scoring the runs that his talent and dedication and commitment to Lancashire merits. Josh is one of my favourite cricketers. He's come through a lot to be a professional cricketer at Lancashire. He's dealt with and is on the record as saying that he's dealt with his own problems of attitude and approach to batting. And it's not 2 years ago that people were saying Bohannon is, for heaven's sake, he's captained Lancashire, he's captained England Lions. And I think, for example, 2 years ago, if the hierarchy of the England Test team wasn't run by people whose attitude was more or less as flexible as hardline Marxists, Bohannon would have been in the Test team. He's lost his form. I want him to get it back. I don't want his mind to be cluttered with ideas of captaincy. I think George Balderson will be an excellent captain. I think it's good training for George Balderson's future in the game. And I wish him all the best. I'm really looking forward to Sedbergh, as no doubt you'll be surprised by that.
Were you going, Paul, to Sedbergh? Are you there nice and early?
Yeah. I need to do a lot of pre-match preparation, so I'll be there I'll be there 3 days before the game begins.
It's actually quite a healthy squad Lancashire have got, isn't it, for the One Day Cup, Graham? I mean, they're not missing that many players to the 100. I think it's 7 players that are not in the squad for the 100. So Aspinwall, Butler, Hartley, Livingston, Mahmood, Salt and Wood. Everybody else is available. Anderson's not featuring. But Araf Shetty's back in the squad as well, so they're expecting him to play, which is a great bonus. Right. That's a pretty strong-looking Lancashire squad, I reckon, Graham, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, Tom Aspinwall is probably the only one of those 7 who you perhaps would start the season and say, maybe that's a little bit of a surprise that he's in there. The others are almost nailed on 100 picks, aren't they? Really? They have a real chance. I wrote this on site the other day. I spoke to George a couple of days ago about the kind of captaincy. And said that it's almost, if you look at the table purely from last season and the season before, it would be a stretch to expect Lancashire to challenge because of how low down they've been. But when you look at the squad, it's absolutely no stretch at all. You know, they've got a squad which should be capable of being at the thick end of that competition at the at the kind of back end of August, and then the finals, what, 20th September, something like that. So don't see why, for any reason at all, they should be, you shouldn't expect to be there.
But they have been really hit and miss with their one-day form, haven't they? Last two or three, maybe last season was an improvement from the season before a little bit. But that final against Kent at Trent Bridge feels like a quite a while ago. Their one-day form seems to be a little bit erratic to me.
Well, it has, but it's been erratic in the midst of trying to develop players because they've had so many away at the 100. They've been playing the likes of Luke Hands, who probably isn't a talented lad, but probably isn't quite ready for first team cricket. Joe Moores has come through there, and obviously we've seen that he is ready for first team cricket now, but yeah, it's been a lot of young players who you've not really been sure as to what they can produce in that moment. So yeah, I think there's obviously a reason for that. And then you look at the Surrey team that will play at Sedbergh on Tuesday. Lancashire are coming out of that kind of developmental phase. Surrey are slap bang in the middle of it. There's no escape from it. I think they've got something like 17 players away at the 100. It's incredible.
I don't think they'll be one of the favourites, but I would not be surprised to see them get to the knockout stages at all. I think Graham makes a very, I remember seeing Surrey marmalised by Hampshire by 9 wickets, I think, at the Oval last year. And really, you were scratching your head, and even I was asking the Surrey people about some of their team. And I think something like 17 players away is obviously significant. I think if they get a bit of momentum going, and I think that they must be, I think, well, they are favourites, I think, to beat Surrey on Tuesday. I think Charlie Barnard is the name that I would pick out from the three, I think, that you identified, although there's obviously going to be a lot of attention attached to Rocky Flintoff. I think Charlie Barnard's a cracking bowler, and I think he's a little bit unfortunate with the way the season has unfolded not to get more opportunities. I thought Jack Morley was I still do think Jack Morley was a cracking bowler, but of course they've got Tom Hartley now. So I think Lancashire will certainly be in contention. And I think maybe the challenge of playing at the attraction of Farringdon, well, you people, they will feel, let's put on a show. This is a new ground, and isn't it a great venue? They're playing Notts. I admit I don't know how much the impact of the 100 on Kent, who are the first team, I think, to visit Farringdon, and then Notts. But I would imagine Notts have lost a lot of players to the 100. So I think, yes, I think Lancashire are in with the chance, in with a fair chance of progressing in the 50 over. I'm really looking forward to seeing how they get on.
Listen to this. This list isn't. It's every Surrey player on their staff at the 100. Yeah, all right. You might say, well, they wouldn't have played in the One Day Cup anyway. They might be on a T20 only contract. But anyway, Gus Atkinson, Jordan Clarke, Sam Curran, Tom Curran, Laurie Evans, Matthew Fisher, Will Jacks, Chris Jordan, Tom Laws, Dan Lawrence, Jamie Overton, Ollie Pope, Jason Roy, Jamie Smith, Ollie Sykes, Reece Topley, and Dan Worrell. They're all involved at the 100. Basically, you're going to turn up at Sedbergh and they're going to be asking you, have you got any family from Farnham? Because they might need you two to play.
Well, I think, I mean, you're commentating with Mark Church. I think there's every chance he'll get a call up.
How do you like the One Day Cup running kind of alongside the 100? And do you think it works well in terms of kind of player opportunity? I look at the recent winners of the competition, a counties not associated with the 100, Somerset, Leicestershire, Kent, Worcestershire. Do you like the One Day Cup, you guys, as running alongside the 100?
Yes, I do. Absolutely. This stage of the season is one of my favourite times. 100% because of the fact that it feels like a little bit of a kind of cricket carnival almost, and you are getting to see players who you wouldn't normally see. You're getting to see the future, and that grounds look full. You're playing at the likes of Farrington, that's going to be full to bursting, isn't it? Sedbergh is, I know Paul, it's his favourite place in the world, and we kind of tease him a little bit about that, but it's a great place. There is absolutely no danger at all. It is one of the best places to watch cricket in the country. And all of these grounds, Scarborough for Yorkshire, York, rugby school, they're going to be full to bursting. And it's brilliant, especially when the weather's like it is at the moment. And I think we're going to get a decent amount of this weather over the next few weeks as well. So yeah, it's brilliant.
I agree. It's like festi in a way. It's like festival cricket. It's like 3 day in you know in certain respects. It's like 3 day county cricket used to be, with people travelling around the country to different venues, rarely county headquarters, for around what 3.5 weeks of the season. I'm going to be watching games. There are new grounds for me this year. I'm going to be going to Repton and Darlington for the first time this year. I think the other thing to say, Scott, is that it's actually quite popular with the members too. I mean, I've done games at Lancashire Yorkshire games at York that were absolutely rammed. And they were sellouts as far as I sort of 4,000 sellouts. I remember yet last year I was astonished at Sedbergh. You remember the day before we had a storm and the press tent was blown away. You were commentating from the public address, the mobile public address van. I had been put in the computer room, which I still think was an exercise in irony, really. But nevertheless, I've been put in the computer room, and yet, I thought we had no chance of playing cricket. That, and of course, it was abandoned around lunchtime. They gave it its best shot, but we had about 3 or 4 showers blowing in, and yet there were still a good 1,000, I would have say, spectators who had queued up down Loftus Hill and had come to the and on the off chance that they'd see a bit of cricket. I think it's lovely. I'm looking forward to Farrington. I hope that Lancashire get the infrastructure right at Farrington, because my point about Farrington is that it is effectively an outground game. But Lancashire will say, "Oh no, it's our second ground." I say, "Yeah, but it whenever you go to another ground, you're relying on the club to sort out much of the infrastructure, things like chairs and tents and this, that, and the other, and to set them up for you. Lancashire have to do all that." But yes, I'm looking forward to the One Day Cup in so many ways. I'm going to be in a load of grounds that I wouldn't otherwise visit. I think it's tremendous. I think, despite the dislike that some members have for the 100, they like it too, and it'll be fascinating to see how it goes.
There is one point I would say that this is a change that I would make, and I do think that it would make a huge hole in the schedule, or a huge difference to the schedule that there's been a lot of complaints about in recent years. I would regionalise the One Day Cup. I know that people will say, yes, it's a little bit samey, you're playing the same counties all the time, it's going to be similar to what you've got in the Blast. A little bit different now that we've got three groups in the Blast. I think it was last year. Well, it was like it certainly. I don't think it certainly was last year. I did a Yorkshire game down at Canterbury, and it took me 9.5 hours to get back home. I just thought to myself, you've got people complaining about too much cricket and things like that, and these One Day Cup games can turn into a little bit of a 3 day event almost. If you are travelling down to Essex, to Sussex, places like that, why not play Derbyshire and Durham and Yorkshire and have your local rivalries and have more of a chance for bigger crowds and just ease the travelling for players? And then it almost just takes away the chance of wanting to reduce the schedule in terms of number of games.
Could I offer a tweak to that, Graham, in that I would, in a sense, regionalize it, but I would try to ensure that you didn't have, say, counties like Durham and Yorkshire. And I take your point about Canterbury, having been a passenger in a car that drove to Canterbury and then drove back. I know what that journey is like. But can I just say that going to Worcester, for example, which Lancashire would never do, don't do in a regionalised blast. You can go to Worcester and back in a day comfortably. Likewise, Edgbaston, and I would have thought Northampton, Leicester as well.
Yeah,
But
absolutely.
you didn't have those long journeys to the other end of the country. So you would have a regionalised blast, but you could have it perhaps rather than split it. No, you could have sort of North and Midlands West, something like that. It's an inelegant phrase, but you could have Lancashire playing Derbyshire, Warwickshire, and Worcestershire, and Yorkshire playing Leicestershire, North Hants. It would need to be mixed around because you've got the southern counties as well. But
It
you
just
got
it just
what you did was you ruled out that, and I think your 3 day point is perfectly accurate. You ruled out sort of turning 150 over matches into 3 day events. You're absolutely right on that.
you just go back to what the blast was last year. That's all it needs to do. That exactly the same groups. And it just yeah, there'll still be the odd challenge. Amidst a group, I don't know, Sussex going to Glamorgan or something like that. But generally speaking, you are minimizing the risk of horrible travels and in quite a lot of places because, I'm covering, mentioned this loads of times, I'm covering Yorkshire throughout the campaign and they go to Neath and then Hove. And they also go to Chelmsford. That can't be fantastic for player welfare. And does it really, are supporters really that bothered about doing that? What, just go to Darlington and play against Durham,
Well, Lancashire start, as you mentioned, with a home game against Surrey at Sedbergh School, then away to Leicestershire, and then the first game at Farringdon will be against Kent, the first of two men's matches in this one-day cup being played at the club's new site at Farringdon. The three of us have all been there, haven't we? Mark Chilton was there the other day, Lancashire's director of cricket performance. I sat in the stands with Mark. There was an under. I think it was under 16s game taking place just on the outfield as well. And well, I asked Mark kind of to sum up what this venue is all about and what it means to him.
Yeah, I mean, we've said a number of times now, haven't I, when I've been asked about this place. But today, I mean, how good does it look? We've had over 200 young girls playing on the community oval, doing their Dynamos final. We've got an age group, boys' age group game going on here. It's a beautiful day. It's a lovely, serene environment. It's a brilliant place to watch cricket. Obviously, here for the opening, the official opening, and we're all really, truly excited to just start maximising the use of this place and enjoy spending time here.
I guess the first team gets the attention a little bit for obvious reasons. It gets probably more coverage, but this is so much more than playing first team games here, isn't it? Just gives a little insight again as to what this setup will be like.
Yeah, absolutely. It very much is a cricket across the board facility, isn't it? It's going to serve the professional teams with an elite standard facility. But at the same time, the scale of the place and the facilities here are going to allow us to run cricket across all programmes, really. So that's all professional and pathway programmes. And then into the Lancashire Cricket Foundation, headed up by Jen Barden, who will drive so much of the community usage of the site, which was a hugely important part for the council and the lead sponsors, AO. So I think it feels like everybody is on the same page with what this facility is ultimately going to try and produce and the overriding objective of it. And obviously my responsibility sits with the pro and the pathway stuff, but there'll be so much more going on, which will be great to see and learn more about as we go along.
I think these lads are under 16, aren't they, playing at the minute? So how good is it that they can play on a venue which is where they'll ultimately aspire to be professionals? Is that having that visibility, how important is that?
Yeah, I mean, you probably have to ask them, but I would think very important, really, that they know they're playing on a facility that is going to be used in a couple of weeks' time for the men's and women's professional teams. So I would think that's quite inspiring for them to have access to the site. Certainly, you know, roll back a few years where even playing on the outfield at Old Trafford in an under-13 game for myself was quite a huge moment where they just cut a strip out of the so it is. Is pretty inspirational, I would think, and I suppose with my development hat on, great that they have access to such a quality facility, really, where, you know, ultimately the standards of pitches, whilst they're still bedding in a little bit, the standard of the pitches will be very good. The drainage is excellent, so it should be able to cope with the elements a lot better than a lot of the sort of league grounds are capable of doing. The facility certainly would encourage people to come out and look at it for starters. I think when you get here, you hear that they need to
I'm sure you'd
improve
share
their
that
game.
Sentiment.
I don't think there's many people who, you know, as long as the weather holds, it's a nice day, then it's going to be a really enjoyable place to watch a game of cricket. It's got, as you can see, the size of the place gives us a lot of scope for the game as well. So, you know, one of the challenges we've had in white ball cricket with first and second team men's cricket particularly is the size of the grounds. You know, a lot of the league grounds these days have been established for years and years and years, and were built on smaller footprints. The scale of this place is so impressive, really, when you first walk through, and that creates a huge amount of opportunity, and certainly from a game perspective allows us to, you know, challenge the 50 over game in the way it should be challenged. It's not going to just all be about sixes over the boundary. There'll be you know, I think it'll be really interesting games of cricket that are played here.
And in terms of the 50 over competition, where does that fit, the 50 over competition, for you in terms of a priority?
Well, I mean, obviously you want to win it, don't you? And we, if you look at the men's setup this year, we've not quite as many players been picked up in the 100. So, you know, on paper you would say that we've got a strong squad going into that competition. For me, it's a delicate balance between, you know, that drive to win a trophy, which is really important, but also ensuring we get that development opportunity into those fringe players and slightly younger players that you're looking to progress their careers. So we absolutely will have the intention to win it, and I suspect to have a very strong squad to get through the 8 group games. It is quite a busy schedule, that. I think you will need 14 or 15 players throughout it. So hopefully we'll do a little bit of rotation of our players, but also ensure that we get as much of the young players contributing to that competition as we can, absolutely, with the drive to win it.
How are you, kind of, you have previously got kind of overseas players for that competition. Is that possible or is that unlikely?
It's unlikely to go past Marcus. You know, Marcus is signed for the year and the 50 over is part of the contract, so we're fully expecting Marcus to play. I don't think you'll see Jimmy playing in the 50. You know, I think he's working hard enough in four-day stuff at the minute and actually doing a great job in the Blast in the last 2-3 games. So I can't imagine it's top of his radar for the time being. But I think, so outside of that, we won't be doing any more specific recruitment. You know, overseas-wise, we're still looking at who we can supplement to bring into the back end of the Championship.
And how would you assess the team's 50-over cricket in the last couple of years?
2 years ago, it was disappointing, wasn't it? I think last year we showed we had the capability to play a much better cricket. And we, at times last year, we played, I thought, some really good quality 50-over cricket. The key for me is, it's from a batting perspective, it's being able to adapt through the different phases of the game. So trying to identify how important a power play is. Can you manage the middle overs well? And are you going to set yourself up for a decent finish? That's not changed hugely. Big area where you're hoping to make a big difference is your ability to pick wickets up through the 50 overs. So can you attack early? Can you get the side on the back foot? Can you then create pressure and create wicket opportunities through the middle overs to set yourself up to being able to control those last, you know, 8 overs? That's a fairly standard formula that everybody works to. So our ability with the ball is probably the priority with regards to getting to the latter stages of the competition, being able to fulfil all those three criteria, really.
That is Lancashire's Director of Cricket Performance, Mark Chilton on Farrington and indeed the team's hopes and expectations going into the Metrobank One Day Cup, which starts on Tuesday at Sedbergh School. For Lanky Lanky subscribers and readers, plenty more to read and enjoy on the website. And if you've not subscribed or joined to the website, Graham, there is a little bonus opportunity coming up.
There is. Throughout the duration of the One Day Cup, we've got a 20% discount code. We've run a couple of those throughout the summer already, one at the start, and then another one through April. So yeah, we've got another one for the duration of the One Day Cup. So Lanky20 is the code, and that gives you 20% off the annual subscriptions at £50. So brings that down from £50, and it also gets you a cheaper deal on the £5 per month deal as well. So yeah, that's a good one to get involved in. And you know, I say we need the subscribers to keep going. That's the thing. You know, we're going okay at the moment. We're starting what we're 6 months in, something like that, just a little bit less. And we've enjoyed it so far. We've had some decent feedback. But you know, we need people to support us to carry on. So yeah, it's something we'd be very appreciative of you subscribing if you haven't already.
The discount means it would be £40 a year or £4 a month. And when we say £40 a year, Graham and I are going to carry on doing this. People might think, oh, you know, if I pay for the year, is there going to be pieces on the site during the winter? The answer is yes. Graham and I are committed to this. It really is still. Okay, we've been doing a few months now, but it's still the early days of this Counter Press initiative and trying to engage with Lancashire supporters and write about the team that they have followed in some cases for many years. We are going to carry on doing this, and so if you pay, you will carry on to get the stuff. We're not going to bail out. And the other thing to point out, I think, is that we're interested in what people would like to see on the site. I'm probably more available, and Graham and I will be more available at Sedbergh. At Farrington. I'll be at Sedbergh. Both of us will be at Farrington. And early in the morning, early in the day, for example, if members of Lanky Lanky or subscribers to Lanky Lanky or people who are thinking of subscribing to Lanky Lanky want to come to us and say, why don't you do more about this or that? Why can't we have more profiles, more podcasts, more polls? I don't know. Just come and tell us what you would like, because we are driven by and grateful for our subscribers, and we need them to keep going. But we're going to carry on for a good while yet. If you subscribe for a year, you'll get a year's worth of stuff on the site.
One thing that I would like to just mention, I've got a piece coming on the Lancashire's D40 Quest disability side, who are national champions and have qualified for the final again. So I spoke to John Hughes, their coach, and yeah, huge congratulations to them. It's a great achievement to be one step away from going back to back.
Enjoyed that, guys. I'm sure we'll catch up again soon. Enjoy your One Day Cup campaign, your travels around the country, and I'm sure we'll catch up soon. Cheers, guys.
Take care. Thanks, Scott.
Very much, mate.
And listen out for our next podcast, reflecting back on the T20 Blast Vitality campaign for both Lancashire Thunder and Lancashire Lightning. That will be released shortly.